When it's all said and done, the only thing that will matter is what you've done with Jesus. And you know the old saying, and we kind of laugh about it, there's no U-Haul trailer behind the hearse. And that's true. You're going, whatever you have on this earth, you're going to leave to somebody else. Right? And one day it'll all be burned up. And when you stand before the Lord, what's going to matter is what you've done with Jesus. Amen. And I'm thankful He's all I need. If you've been living more than about 5 minutes, you realize that people let you down. The world lets you down. Hey, you let yourself down a lot of times. I don't know about you. I've let myself down more than anybody else has let me down. Right? If you're honest, you've done that too. You say, no, I've never let myself down. You're lying. But He's never let me down. Not one time has He ever done wrong by me. And you know, sometimes we'll have questions. And as we're studying through Romans, one of the things people will ask you, they'll say, well, I don't know if I could serve a God that would send somebody to hell from a place that doesn't have churches. And here's what I'd say. I'd say, well, I believe God's big enough to make sure everything's done right. And I'd hate to die in my sins and go to hell because I couldn't figure out God's way of doing things. Isn't that right? I mean, you think about it and say, well, I don't think that's fair. Well, it's amazing to me that we as human beings, as fallible as we are, we just talked about I'm only a sinner saved by grace, which means we're not perfect, which means our thinking is not perfect, which means our reasoning is not perfect, that I would be willing to indict myself to spend eternity in hell because I couldn't figure out how God was dealing with people that may not have heard the gospel as much as I have. Think about it. Well, that's not fair, preacher. I don't know what's fair and what's not fair. See, when you trace it all back, every man, every society, every tribe in the world has had the opportunity to have the gospel. You think about it. They knew of God, and even now, people all over the world that may not have churches, they're searching for God. And again, we've heard stories of how there'd be someone in a village or someone somewhere that wanted to know God and wanted to find out about God, and somehow miraculously there was a missionary sent there. So I'd say this: when you start looking at justice and say I don't know that God is fair, I believe I'll leave it to Him, right? So as we come to Romans chapter 2 and verse number 7, again, thank you, girls. I appreciate that song. He is all you need. I mean, when it's all said and done, He's all you need. Romans chapter 2, verse number 7. I want to read two portions of verses in chapter 2 to refresh us on what we looked at last week. In verse 2, the Bible said, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Right? The judgment of God is according to truth. Then you go down to verse 4, and the Bible said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So I know that God's judgments are based on truth, of which He is truth. He doesn't tell the truth. He is truth. Therefore, He can do nothing but tell truth. And so the Bible said that the judgments of God, which, let's be honest, we're so worried about whether or not God's doing it right, are according to truth. And then He talks in verse 4 about the goodness of God. And again, we equate goodness to our human mindset. We'll say, well, you know, Brother Shane's been real good to me. What that probably means is Brother Shane has given me some stuff or taken care of some of my needs or helped me out in a time of need, right? That's what we equate goodness. But the Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So now we come down to verse number 7. The Bible said, and again, told me, now again, we have to understand, let me say this, that In this scripture, it gives us a description of the judgment of the hypocrite. Now, the difference, again, the heathen is the person who has never heard the gospel or who has not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hypocrite is the one who has but has rejected Christ. Now, again, we equate hypocrisy to Pharisees, and that's accurate. But the fact is, if you're here today and you've heard the gospel over and over and over again and you said no, you're a hypocrite. There's a lot of people sitting in churches that, you know, say they're saved, but they have no testimony. And according to the definition of hypocrite, it means actor. So in certain environments, you act like a Christian. In certain environments, you don't. That's hypocrisy. But here the Bible's talking about the hypocrite as being someone who has the opportunity to know God, but chooses not to, right? So in verse 7, the Bible said, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. And notice that didn't say feeling or what I think. It says did not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So he's drawing a contrast in verse 7 to someone in verse 8. In verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But then verse 8, to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. And then verse 9, the Bible said, to those folks, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first also to the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. And notice verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, what's all that mean? Some of you look at me like, I have no idea what you said. Well, it's real simple. What Paul's saying is this. He's describing the judgment of those who have rejected Christ. Now, as you look at this, and you say, well, it's kind of confusing because it kind of looks like he's saying the people that do good works are going to heaven and the people that don't do good works are not going to heaven, but they're going to hell. But we have to read it in context of all the scripture, right? And so God's judgment of the hypocrite or the one who should know how to be saved but chooses not to is based on his evaluation of the hypocrite's behavior, his character, his works, and his personal worth. So it seems to me, Brother Matt, that what the Bible's saying is that judgment is not the same for everybody. Hell, yes, but the degree of punishment is different. Just like when you think of heaven, the rewards for those that are saved are not all the same. Right? There are some people, and let's be honest, there's a group of people, they just want to get in. As long as I'm in, that's all that matters. You know, they'll write songs like, you know, just give me a cabin beside of Jesus somewhere. Just give me a little shack beside of Jesus. Well, that may be what you think, but my Bible says that there's mansions, right? And so that there are crowns that I can earn to cast at his feet. And so the idea of I just want to get in, my friend, and I've used this illustration, it's like if your house burned down, yeah, there's a side of you, you're thankful you weren't in it, but all the memories and all the memoirs and the pictures and all the things that you lost, there will be a loss to that as well. Thank God you made it out, but it's not like you're going to get out and say, man, I'm glad I got out of that burning house, but nothing else was lost. Well, it's going to be good to get to heaven, Brother Russell, but there's going to be some people that are going to be real disappointed and real ashamed when they stand before Jesus and see the nail prints in his hand to know that they did absolutely nothing. So getting to heaven is not based on our works. It's based on the work that Jesus did. But the rewards and the judgment that we face will be based on what we have and have not done since we got saved. Now, the judgment of the hypocrite, those that have rejected Christ, is not based, it's based on the fact that they're going to hell because they've rejected Christ. But the degree of punishment is based on the works that they did or the amount of light that they had that they rejected Christ. Man, it's going to be a whole lot worse for people around here that reject Christ where there's a church on every corner and you got churches knocking on doors and you're in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but then some other place that maybe has one Bible preaching church in a whole state or a whole country. I'm just saying, if you've been sitting in church your whole life and you're saying, I don't want anything to do with Christ, listen, and you die in your sins and go to hell, the punishment's not going to be the same as someone who's never heard the gospel. And that's what he's saying. Salvation is not about your works, but the judgment or rewards that we all receive, right? And by the way, I believe, Brother Foy, it's going to be worse for people that sit in churches like this that will preach the whole counsel of God, and you still sit in there week after week and say no to the Lord and will not serve God. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, but you're still not working for and laboring and loving Him, you're losing some stuff. But if you die in your sins from a church pew, from a church like this, and we're not the only one. We're not the only one preaching the truth. But if you don't get saved and you sit and, well, my mama drugged me there and I never got saved and I'm good enough because I go to church, it'll be worse for you than the person that has never heard the Bible preach. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. So he's describing this judgment that will take place. And number one, I think I only got 2 points. Praise the Lord. Number one, the hypocrite is judged by works. You say, I thought we weren't saved by works. We're not. We're judged by works. Notice verse 7 through 10. We won't reread it, but the Bible said to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, right? Do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Here's what he says they will get. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And then he said, the Jew first, also the Gentile. So here's what he's saying. He's saying the hypocrite is judged by works because of the reason for their behavior. Now, understand this. God sees beyond the deeds and sees our motivation. So when we look at people, here's the example. You'll see somebody doing good works, right? They're a philanthropist and they give millions of dollars away. And you say, they're a good person. Look at all the money they give. Well, you don't know the motivation why they give it. They might give it to have their name put on the building. They may give it to get a tax break. They may do it because it makes them feel better. They may do it because some other reason. So it's not just the deed. Thank God for those that do good deeds. But don't equate that their righteousness to the deed. It has to do with motivation. And we're no different, let's be honest. Some people, the only reason they labor for the Lord is they feel like they have to. I come to church because I got to. I preach because I got. I get tired of hearing preachers say, I gotta go preach here. Well, no, if you don't want to, call me, I'll go. I mean, if you got to instead of get to, maybe you ought not be doing what you're doing. Right? I mean, if you got to come, I got to go to church. No, you get to because there's some folks that would love to come that can't come. Amen. I got to go to Sunday school. I got to teach. I got to run my bus route. No, you get to do that. It ought to be a privilege to serve God. And when it starts getting to be a got to, the motivation's wrong. Amen. So it's not just the deeds. He's saying God doesn't just look at the deeds you do. Praise God, you're here this morning. I'm not critical of that. Hallelujah. I'd rather you be here than not. Here's what, why are you here? Well, because I'm supposed to be. No, no, you ought to be here because you want to get around God's people in God's house and get around the things of God because it helps you and draws you closer to God. Now you say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't. But you say, well, I can study the Bible at my house and don't need to go to church. Well, if you studied your Bible at the house, you'd go to church. Right? So God sees beyond the deeds and sees our motivation. Listen, you can do all the right things and we appear good to men, but God's looking on the inner man and saying, okay, he knows why we do what we do. Why we do it is as important as what we do. And so are we seeking God to get glory or for the glory of ourselves? I mean, and here's the thing. A lot of people, Brother Jerry, have a false humility. They want to appear humble, but they're not. Right? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself at all. Right? It's not, well, I want to, listen, if God gives you the ability to do something, if I preach today and you say, preacher, thank you for preaching, it really helped me, then, and I'm not going to say, well, it wasn't me, it was God. Well, it was God working through me. So I should say, glory to God. But when God gives you a gift or an ability and is able to use you, don't diminish that by saying it wasn't me, because when God has the right person with the right attitude and the right motivation, he gets glory out of it. And what we ought to do is be usable and expendable for God and not brag on ourselves, but give him the glory. God uses people. Listen, all of you ought to say amen right there. God uses people and he wants to use you. He's used donkeys. Amen. He said this, if we didn't praise him, the rocks would cry out. Well, I don't want no stinking rock praising God on my behalf. I'd just soon do it myself. He's been good to me. So the reason for our behaviors is as important as what we do. Why you do it is important. God knows all that. Listen, you may fake some people out, but you ain't going to fake God out. Amen? So he's judging their works by their motivation. Because again, we're human. We'll look at people and say, man, they gave millions of dollars to charity. Great. But they have billions. Right? And Jesus dealt with that with his disciples because they were putting money in the treasury and they were, look, and here's what he said. He said, they're all giving out of their abundance.
That's right.
What they had left over. And he took that one little widow, he said, she's giving out a sacrifice. The guys giving the most were not giving the most to God. The one giving the most to God was the woman who didn't have anything. So we have to be, and unless we just look at that way, you know, somebody donated money to a hospital. Now the hospital is like, boy, he must really care about patients. Maybe. Or he might have wanted his name on the side of a building. We don't know the motivation. See what I'm saying? But God does. God sees the inner man. Why do you sing? Why do you play an instrument? Why do you preach? Why do you run a bus? Why do you hand out tracts? Well, I got to. No, the motivation is, God's been real good to me, and I get to serve him in this capacity. And so the reason for our behavior, God judges that. But then he also judges the result of behavior. Now watch this. Increased light brings increased responsibility. Where much is given, much is required. When God enlightens you, it's like this. Now, again, you get mad at me. I'm not. The person who doesn't read is worse than the person who can't read. Right? If a person can't read, and you say they've never read a book, then they can't read. It's beyond their ability. But if I can read, and I just say, I don't like it, I'm not going to do it. Well, you're taking a privilege that was given to you and squandering it because it's something that you don't like to do.
That's right.
Right?
Yes,
Well, if you have the ability, right, where there's more privilege, you have the privilege to be in a Bible preaching church. Well, God's going to look at you and say, well, I'm going to hold you more accountable than to someone that does not have the capacity or the ability to go to a church where they're going to preach the Bible. Right?
Yes, sir.
So some of you are going, maybe we picked the wrong church. But see, that's our human nature, right? It's like, well, let me find some place where the expectation is not as high, and I'll gravitate to that. Well, the expectation from me is not as high, or the church. But see, now you've already been enlightened from the Word of God of some things, so now you can't go backwards. That's the problem. See, our human nature wants to go backwards. We want to find the least common denominator and go to the lowest level and say, what must I do instead of what can I do? Right? I don't want, listen, I want to do the bare minimum. I want to do the bare, we do that at work. What do I got to do? Boss man said, here's your job. You stand here and you put this felt in the bottom of these plates. And the machine breaks down over there, and you're going, "Hey, it's not my problem. This is my job, right?" And it breaks down there, and I never don't get the plates, Brother John. I'm like, "Well, I get to take a break now. This is what I got to do." And it's that way with most things. If we let our human nature, our flesh, take over, it's like, "What do I got? If I want to sing in the choir, what do I got to do?" If I want to be a member of the church, what do I have to do? If I want to teach Sunday, what's the requirements? Or you could just look at it and say, it's a privilege. So let me, if here's the minimum, I want to do more than the minimum because I want to be better than that. Does it make sense? We don't have to go to what's just here. We are more than conquerors. See what I'm saying? So the results of our behavior is where there's more light, there's more expectation, where there's more privilege, where there's more blessing, where much is given, where God gives you more, He expects more. Like when God blesses you more financially, He expects you to give more financially. What about 10%, preacher? What about it? Well, you Old Testament? Huh? You so worried about tithing being the law. Well, I'm okay with that. But the New Testament teaches grace giving. When God increases, you increase the giving. But what do I got to do? Right? That's what we want. That's why, let's be honest, brother. If people are like, well, the tithe. You need to tithe. Well, that ought to be the minimum. And let's be honest, Brother Eddie, most people won't do that. Most churches, we're no different, I'm sure. I don't know. I don't keep up with it. I don't know who gives what. That's between you and God. But I'm guessing ours is not much different. 10-20% of the people do all the work and do all the giving. Right? I mean, how much? We support 125 missionaries thereabout. Wonder how many we could if everybody gave to missions. I'm trying to help you. Don't look at me, cross. So what he's saying is the person who has light that chooses to reject it, the punishment will be worse than the person who never has the same light. Right? Now, how many agree with this? You have kids. You don't treat them all the same. You say, oh, I treat all my kids. No, you didn't. Because they're all different. You can't treat them all the same. You may try to treat them equal, but you don't treat them all the same. Right? Can't do it. I mean, I've got one son, three daughters. There are things that I expected Luke because he was a boy that I didn't expect out of the girls. Right? I mean, there were some physical labor things that I said, you need to do this. I didn't expect that out of them. Right? Well, it's God the same way. He knows you.
Yes.
And you're look, see what we do, Brother Matt, we'll look at, well, what about him? Well, see, you and him are not going to be standing before God together. It's going to be you. So what I got to do is find out what God wants me to do and serve him and stop looking at everybody else. And see, that's where we are. Our flesh compares. Well, this isn't fair because they got this and I get this. But see, when we stand before the Lord, all that's going to be stripped away. So what he's saying is the results of our behavior are the fact that God knows what we're about and that he is judging each one of us individually, and we'll all stand before the judgment seat. So where much is given, much is required. You live in America. You have certain privileges because you were born in this country other places of the world don't have. Right? Now, Brother Adam and I, we were talking about this Sunday school. Because of our prosperity, we've become very apathetic, right? We've become very comfortable, and we're like, well, you know, if I don't have to do that, if I don't want to, I don't have to. Well, that's privilege. You don't have to come to church. God's not going to kill you and send you to hell for not coming to church. But the privilege of getting to come to church should be, I get to do that, right? I get to read. There's places they don't have. I've got, I don't know how many copies of God's Word in my office. There's some places don't have one. So for me not to study it, that is worse than someone who cannot study it. Does that agree? For you not to study your Bible, if you've got one, is worse than somewhere that someone doesn't even have it. And that's what he's saying. So the hypocrite is judged by his works, but then the hypocrite is judged according to his wrath. Verse 11 through 16, for thee there is no respect of persons with God. God doesn't care where you came from. He said Jew, Gentile, those were the major distinctions, whether you were a Jew, and if you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. Didn't matter where you came from, didn't matter who your parents were, none of that mattered. You're either a Jew and you were part of the Jewish religion or the Jewish people, or you were not. Now, most of us, maybe all of us, we're not in that. We're Gentiles. So he said, there's no respect to persons with God. For as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law. As many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, right, who was the law given to? The Jew. So he said, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Well, he's saying, well, listen, they don't have the law, but they're doing right things. They're doing good deeds. They're living in a way that is not necessarily contrary to the law. He said, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. So it tells me God puts something in us called a conscience that seeks after the right thing. Okay? He said, which show the works of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. So in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So real quick, here's what he's saying. He's saying how discriminating God's judgment is. What do you mean by that? God weighs a person, and I mentioned it, their advantages. So those who have the word have more light than those that do not have the word. And God weighs a person's attitude.
Right.
It's not just doing the right thing, right? I mean, as a kid, most kids don't want to come to church, right? They'd rather go to a ball game, whatever. Well, you say, I don't want to make them go. Well, you need to, but what you're doing is training them.
That's right.
You're putting in them, like, because a young person's conscience is not fully formed, and so they're going to do most of the time, and if we're honest, adults, many never come out of adolescence, so they just do what feels good and what they want to do. But a child is going to do what feels good, right? So train up a child in the way he should go,
right?
So parents that just let the kids do whatever they want to do, they're going to do the wrong thing most of the time. But as that conscience is being trained, then it's saying, okay, there's things that you know. I mean, you know not to steal.
Right.
You know not to lie.
Right.
Well, if you don't let the Word of God strengthen that in your life, what will happen is your conscience, the Bible says, gets seared. And the flesh starts to take over. So God weighs the person's attitude, and God gives man a conscience to lead toward right. The problem is, we're still flesh. So, Brother Eddie, if all I do is let my conscience direct me, what happens is, if I don't feed the Spirit, the conscience is influenced by the flesh, and now all of a sudden my conscience becomes fleshly, and things, I'll say, well, my conscience didn't convict me. Here's an example, right? People will read something in the Word of God, and they'll say, well, I know the Bible says this, but my conscience didn't convict me of it. Well, that tells you right there, your conscience can be wrong if it's not nurtured by, the Word of God is the final authority. So if my conscience is going against the Word of God, my conscience is wrong. What we'll say, Brother Matt, is, well, my conscience is my guide. Here's the problem. You put wrong information in your guide, it'll guide you to the wrong place.
Right?
So here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, God gave us the conscience to lead us to right, and it has to constantly be fed with the right thing, and the right thing is the Word of God. So God gives man a conscience, and God's Word is the guide to know what is right. So it must be monitored and educated with the Word of God. And then how devastating God's judgment is. So verse 16 says this, in the day when God shall judge the secrets. So, don't raise your hand. But probably all of us in here have secrets. Don't come. No, I'm an open book. Now there's something down in there somewhere, right? It may not be gross immoral sin, but there's something down in there somewhere that you don't. It may be bitterness or hatred towards someone, or I mean, you got something in there. Nobody knows about it but you, and you may not even know about it. But God's saying one day, He said, I'm gonna reveal it all. Here's why. Ready? I'm going to close with this. God even judges the secret of men. So we have to understand that people that we look at their actions, and we're judging everybody. We judge people by actions, correct? I mean, that's what we see. We see how people act. Listen, I know I'm done. Stop putting your stuff up, because I know how you are. It's like he said his last point. I'm tuning him out from here on.
Come on, preach on.
So you're looking on the outside, and if people act a certain way, we're going, well, this is how they are, right? They act right, we're like the good people. If they don't act what we think's right, we'll say, well, they're not. But you don't know this.
That's right.
And what's interesting to me is how often people say, well, God judges the inside. God looks on the inside. That ought to scare you. Right? I mean, people act like the outside that people see is, well, you're judging the outside. And you don't have a right to judge me. God's looking on the inside. That ought to scare us. Because there's some stuff lingering in there. Give you an example. Can we agree, most people, right? We're going to come over to your house. We're going to have dinner. Everybody's cleaning up, right? I've got to clean up. Throw that in the closet. Get out of here. Right? You knock on the door and people come to the door and say, oh, forgive the mess. Forgive the mess. Our house is usually, won't you just be honest, say, this is the cleanest our house been in 7 years, right? But you dust and, you know, you But you put some stuff back in the closet. May not be bad stuff, right? Just stuff you don't want out.
Right.
And you put it, maybe it's something for a later date.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Something your past. One day you get this idea like, I'm gonna clean that closet out. You start digging in there. And I ain't talking about bad stuff necessarily, but it's just stuff you forgot about.
Right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You start looking, go, huh, I didn't know I still had that.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
That's right.
Right? And that's the way we are with sin a lot of times.
Right.
If we can get far enough away from it, and it doesn't convict us, and we can deal with it for a little while. If we can just get over here, we kind of put it out of sight, and it doesn't bother us.
Right.
We suppress it.
Yes,
we don't deal with it. We suppress it.
Amen.
That's why people are like, I don't want to go to church and hear messages that make me feel a certain way. I want them to make me feel good. Well, here's what I found: when you dig that stuff out and deal with it, you start feeling better.
Right.
That what you're seeking is a temporary,
right,
temporary injection of feel good. But then when you get by yourself and your conscience and the Holy Ghost convicts you, then you start feeling bad again. But see, God gave you that. The goodness of God lead to repentance. He gave you that because He's good and He wants you to be cleaned out. Well, here's the problem. If you keep putting stuff in that closet, right, and you never clean it out, eventually it's going to come out. And God's saying, listen, I'm going to judge not just what everybody sees. I'm going
to
go down in there where you don't want anybody to see. And here's the reason. Two reasons. Because for those that are saved, and we're patting ourselves on the back because we're such wonderful Christians.
Right.
Brother Ian, we're super Christians.
Yeah.
And God starts putting our life, here's the good things you did.
Yeah.
Here's those secret things.
Mm.
Here's what I wanted you to do. Here's what you actually did. I think we're going to look at Him.
Yeah.
And even understand the grace of God to a whole nother level.
Yes, right. Yes, sir.
That we shouldn't even be here.
Right.
But then on the flip side, those that have rejected Christ and said no, and I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, right? And, you know, hey, preacher, hey, honey, hey, whoever, look at all these good things I've done. This is why I'm going to heaven. And you kept saying no to Jesus and no to Jesus, and you sat in a service like this and said no. And He's going to open up and say, okay, if you're such a good person, here's your closet. Here's what people didn't see.
That's good.
Now tell me I'm not justified in the punishment and wrath you're getting ready to face for eternity.
Hallelujah.
God's just.
Yes, yes.
And He's fair. And it's your decision this morning, either you will choose Him or reject Him. There's no middle ground. There's no, if you say no to Him this morning, you said no. Right? If you don't accept Him, if you today the Holy Spirit's deal with your heart and you say no, maybe next week, maybe when I get older, maybe, you know, I've got too much going on, you're saying no. Okay? Not later. Today's the day of salvation. And if you die in your sins or Jesus comes back, he'll bring this service and everyone like it.
Yes, sir. Yes, he will.
And say, here's the light that was provided.
Amen.
Here's your parents that took you to church. Here's the Word of God. Here's all those opportunities He gave you that someone else didn't have. And you, the condemnation for you will be worse.
Amen.
That ought to scare us.
Yes, sir.
That ought to scare us. Your neighbor, Christian friend, that you don't want to give them a tract because you're afraid it will offend them, right? And they're 5 miles from this church, and they've got a Christian witness living beside of them. their condemnation is going to be bad. But then God's going to show us. Paul said he had the blood of no man on his hands. That's amazing. But how many of us have had opportunity and said no? See, God is a God of love and a God of grace and forbearance, but he's also a God of justice. We'll all give an account. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, may I say today, you can experience the grace and mercy of God. Right? But if you die in your sins, you'll experience the justice and wrath of God. Christian friend, when we stand before God, if you're here today and you're saved, it'll put him in a new light for us. Brother Shane, I think there'll be a lot of shame and embarrassment for the opportunities we've had that we've rejected. Every time we've had opportunity to come to church and said, yeah, I'm just not today. I'm too tired. Right? Yeah. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Yeah. I'm really not a prayer warrior, so, you know, I don't pray. All those things are going to come up. God help us. God help us. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you for your patience. The altar's open. Every head's bowed. Eyes are closed. Everybody's real still. I want nobody moving around. I want to ask you, and I want you to be honest. You know I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I would never do that. But I would like to pray for you this morning. Would you be honest with God? Would you say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven? I would love to pray for you this morning. Would you do that? It's an uplifted hand, preacher. Please pray for me. If I die today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Is there one? Is there one? All right. And she begins to play. If you stood before God, every one of us in here today, we're Christians. Everyone, that's our testimony. We're all saved on our way to heaven. When you stand before Him, is it all good? Could you do more? Where much is given, much is required. Could we do more? Could we do more? Could we love Him more? We're fond of Him, but are you consumed with Him? Help us, God. I read this morning in the book of John. They came and got Jesus. They just fellowshiped with Him in the upper room, just had Passover with Him. Remember Peter? Oh, Lord, I'd never leave you. I'll die with you. Peter was, it's interesting because when he was with Jesus in the garden, he took that sword and cut that soldier's ear off. He looked tough then. Then when Jesus was on trial, the Bible said he followed afar off. He's just, I think that's the way we are a lot of times. We like being around Him. We like when He's feeding us and taking care of us. But we like to follow afar off. I want to live my life, do my thing. God, You bless me where You can. God help us. God help us. Father, I love You. Thank You for the message and thank You for the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Thank You for every decision that's been made here today. As we leave here, let the Word of God continually be implanted in us, change who we are for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.